Ooh, it's working. I think this is working, Paul.
I think for me, my frame rate is a little sketchy,
Little sketchy.
but yeah.
Oh,
But
okay.
yours is too, actually. So it may be something on my end.
Oh
So
no, I think my machine's completely broken.
okay. All right. So
As
do you
you
want to
know,
go
I'm
through? Do you
yeah,
want to
let's
press
try
ahead, or
it.
do you
No,
want
this
to
it says it's
reboot or something?
recording 40 megabits per
Okay.
second. I've got the my stats viewer running, telling
Oh,
me where I
cool.
am.
Uh-huh.
So there you go. My video,
Nice.
it says the hard drive will be filled in 1 hour for 14 minutes. So we got to take less time than that.
Wow.
There you
That's got
go.
to be on some sort of budget, right? Okay,
21,
so let's
21 gigabytes. I actually have 200
wow.
gigabytes. I actually have 10 hours. I don't know why it's reporting so little.
Huh.
Who knows why?
Okay.
But how
So
are
how do we
you?
start?
I don't know. I guess, this is our third podcast. And
Third episode. Uh-huh.
we've done a total of two. I did two with Dion, and I did one with my brother. So I've done, this will be the fourth podcast, the third podcast this week. So as you can see, we're getting real professional
Wow.
here.
Wow, you are a pro. You got to open a studio for that.
Oh, I gotta, I mean, I can't access it because something's wrong with my Mac, but we got all kinds of cool views. You want me to take a tour of the views? Okay, so
Sure.
look,
Let's get the
I can't
podcast
get this
set up.
working, but you can see eventually there'll be a screen back here. I actually fix this right now. Let's see, here we go. Okay, that's this. That's this one. That's this one. That's this one. That's this one. Oops, where is it? Oh well. Anyway, and then we got this view for when I put the
Oh, cool.
podcast thing in. So
Comes the screen
that's
up.
all
Uh-huh.
ready.
Okay.
Looks good, huh? So yeah,
Nice.
I'm cook we're cooking with gas here. So
You
we got all
know
these
your
views
stuff.
prepared. Oh, here it is. Just give me 1 second. So you can now, I've figured out how to. So there's Safari.
Oh,
Look,
good.
so
You
now,
got
of course,
480
none of it
working. Oh,
works
no.
because I don't know
Failed to
what's.
open page. Oh,
Yeah, I don't
yeah.
know what the
Okay.
problem is. But basically, we can, when this works next time, when you want to look at stuff, you can just, we can just, I can take care of it for you, man. See, look at that. Isn't that
Well, I'm
nice?
labeled as Dion. I do not
Oh, yeah.
want to
So, no,
be
sorry. You're
I
not
do not
Dion. You're the
want
wrong. This is the wrong
to be that sort
person.
of
I apologize. We don't want to confuse people.
falsifying.
Look at
There we
that.
go. Oh yeah.
There
All
you
right,
go.
that's good.
There
Yeah,
you
I'm
go.
Paul.
So anyway, the,
Dion and
and
I
this
do not look the
one,
same. All right.
yeah, and this one's got here. Let's see. And then we'll just lower left, lower right. Okay, well, there's some problems there. But let's go back to our regular view. There you
There
go.
we go.
That's the
That's
tour of the
nice.
system, and I'll figure out how well that's working. So what do you think we should talk about today, Paul?
Well, I'm sort of excited about my new device, this Cardia Mobile, which is very interesting. It's like a home game EKG.
Whoa,
So,
that sounds so cool.
and it is I just got one. I just came in this week. It's not a new device, but it's new to me. And the thing is, I'm surprised at how well it works, both at the as a user experience and as a like the quality of the output. So I've been using the Apple Watch EKG for a while,
Yeah.
and to get a little more data, because I mean, you and I both, Rich, are all about getting more data.
Oh yeah,
So
absolutely.
I got the 6-lead one, and it's cool. It's a little, I should bring it up. It's a little, well, you can see the picture of it here, a little like
Oh,
this
looks so
this
super cool.
that's
I need to have one.
it's very, very cool looking. Like the ID on it is just terrific. So the experience of signing up is great. It's easy. Get an Alive Core account. Terrific. And then using it is just super easy. You do a Bluetooth pair, and then you hold the thumbs on the thing, and then you the and on the back there's another electrode that goes on your knee or on your ankle, on your left leg. And
Whoa, that's cool.
then the thing starts up, and you can see
Nice.
you get the six readings in the whoa, yeah, in the on your iPhone,
Yeah.
and then it stores on the iPhone, and you can there are backup services that let them do analysis. You can get it reviewed by a cardiologist, but it will in its like standalone
Yeah.
detect atrial fibrillation, which is the most common arrhythmia, and
Wow, that's cool.
lots of people end up getting it. So yes, yeah, so setting up
Well,
great, and then the output you get
I
is
could have
super cool.
definitely used that this week, man.
Oh, did you have a cardiac endangering or a cardiac quickening event this week, Rich?
Well, hopefully no one else in this podcast had it, but I definitely had one. For those of you who don't know, this is the week that a 40-year-old bank in the U.S. failed in basically less than 24 hours after a bank run. So we are in crisis central here because I'm not afraid to admit it. I got caught, not understanding
Yeah,
that.
so many people did. Yeah.
Yeah, apparently I read that 90% of the loan. This is called Silicon Valley Bank. For those of you who don't know, 90% of the money that was in that bank was uninsured by the FDIC. So the
Yeah.
exposures, essentially, was a $240 billion bank. There was a $40 billion run because some nice people said, "Take all your money out," so the thing failed. And I was just not watching the ball, man. Just not doing a good job. So we're caught in this. I've got a buddy. I just got off this call where he's been on hold with the FDIC for the last 5 hours. I've logged on some government website trying to get the money out. And it is really interesting when you realize how fragile trust in our system is. I mean, it is just sort of shocking how bad it can be. So that's my thing. And
And
it's
this
so
bank,
ironic
this.
because just a few little changes, and you can be very safe. And it's just so sad that I didn't. But maybe we can even talk about the sorry, Paul, you just disappeared. What people can do, right? Because it's not unsolvable. But as we and I've talked about, having this FDIC, this insurance is important. And you're at a bank that has got, what is it, $2 million worth of insurance for anything, which is unbelievable.
Well, yeah, no, but it's super cool. It's a well, you should lay out the beginning thing about the FDIC limits, and then I can
Oh
tell you
yeah,
about the
just so people don't
special
know,
bank.
the FDIC is the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. And they have these limits, right? So the limit is for every account holder, you got $250,000 of insurance, which is a lot of money unless you're a company. And if you have like $1 million and you put it into a bank and the bank goes bankrupt, then you could potentially lose your 750. E.g., only the first 250 is protected. But there are all these mechanisms where you can get much more protection. And the truth is, in Silicon Valley, I guess we're part of Silicon Valley North. Banking's just never been that high priority. I mean, for a lot of people, including me. So we have a couple companies that I work on, and they're caught, where all their money is trapped there. They may only get $250,000 back, and that's a crisis. So you and I just were texting yesterday about, well, check everything to understand it, and it's not that complicated. It's easy to get. Literally millions of dollars in coverage if you spend 5 minutes sort of spreading the money around, right? And I think that's what you have.
That's well. I don't use it, but I found because I think this thing is super interesting because so many people that I'm connected to got bitten by it. There is a bank that offers like a syndication service. So while the FDIC limit, as you mentioned, 250,000 per account holder per account. You can't, or per account holder at an institution, you can have this bank syndicates up to $2 million across eight different banks.
Yeah, makes so much
Just puts
sense. Yeah.
250 in each one, so it's fully covered, and they do that utterly abstracted from the depositor. So it's I thought that was a very clever way to do it. I mean, you and I talked about like, well, you should do this manually, but here's a way to just like get somebody to
Yeah.
do it who's doing it wholesale, expert at it, whatever.
Yeah,
So.
because otherwise you have to set up 8 accounts and so forth. I think that was what I think with Fidelity, I sort of trust them, but there are a lot of these sort of third parties that do these things. And just I just got off a call and people, there's a lot more analysis that I think is going on in Silicon Valley and with me certainly as to who these people are. Right. So, the old days of, oh yeah, don't worry about it. It's just a good bank. Let's just use it. It's sort of gone. Like I know the bank manager. Because I just full disclosure, I know the bank manager at Silicon Valley Bank, a venture capital firm we had, has done all the banking there, but it sort of doesn't matter because that's the it's all about financial stability and so forth. So, this idea that you should spread your money around so you get the 250 working across 10 banks or whatever it is. There's also a bunch of other programs that basically give you $1 million in coverage, but let's not forget the most important thing, which I didn't understand. See, a checking account is actually the worst possible, least safe place you can put things in because in essence, it's a unsecured loan to the bank, right? If you put money into a stock mutual fund, they can't use your stock to make risky bets, right? And what I've learned is there are things like mutual funds or money market funds that are actually separate where they're a custodian, as it's called. But if you put your money into a money market savings account, you're actually giving the money to the bank. And they can do what they will. So when you want to withdraw it, if everyone wants to withdraw it, it may not be there. And literally, the difference between money market safe, the last word is important. Money market account and money market fund is totally different. Now, I didn't know this 24 hours ago. I thought money markets were safe. I had no idea that a checking account is the worst possible investment unless you understand the security of the bank. That I think is the thing that's sort of reverberating through Silicon Valley and I think everywhere. So, the advice that I've gotten after 20 minutes is make sure your money is in a, I think they're called too big to fail, TBTFs or SIBs, systematically important banks. So e.g. banks are so big it would take down a country because essentially the country won't let those fail. And that, in this country that's like Chase, right? That's like a Bank of America, Wells Fargo, Citibank, and so forth. So I think there's going to be a big rush towards those things. And it's interesting because the long-term effect is huge. There's at least one other bank I know of where there were lines out the door of people trying to get money out of an ATM, and they stopped all bank wires. And if you're in a small bank or a credit union, you got to worry if you've got over that 250 limit. So yeah, this thing is spreading like wildfire. So to all our five listeners, now's the time to do a quick pat check and just make sure none of your money is in anything that's unsecure. And believe me, dealing with the FDIC right now, even if you're insured for 250, you do not want to go through this process. This process sucks. So it sort of says, there's a guy, Bill Altman, who wrote a nice tweet about this that we'll put in the show notes. But basically, you have to think of putting your money in a bank like you are giving an unsecured loan of fixed duration to a failed entity. That's how you have to think about putting money into a checking account. Right. So that's pretty scary, right? So, right now I know a bunch of firms can't make payroll, et cetera, et cetera. And it's interesting, people are talking about these neobanks. Hey, just put money into a brand new entity. And I don't know about you, but I would sort of want to know like who banks backs them. It's not like I can understand what a bank does. Right. So there you go. So maybe we'll be saved by the bell on this one, but it is pretty scary and it's not fun to go to login.gov and try to get authenticated by the government to even talk about your account. That's what you have to do. So you have to,
Yeah,
I think there's a classic thing. Once you're in the hands of the government, man, things get really complicated. So hopefully this hasn't happened to
always.
anybody, and hopefully everyone's done their quick pat check on their clothes to make sure they don't have this problem, and that everything is either, I think there's a term for it that I'm going to forget, but essentially it's that when you give money to the bank, it's actually going into securities, and they can't use it to make loans. That's the essential idea. And then the second thing is, you still want to work with highly reliable banks because you don't want to go through the FDIC process or these other processes. So, flight to quality.
That's never going to be fun.
That's never going
That's
to be fun, right? So, I almost feel like every CEO has got to like have a tracker of these stocks, because the first sign is always the, if, I think if a bank stock goes down by 4%, you basically take your money out. And that's sort of the, that's where everyone's headed. Right. What?
But ideally, you wouldn't have to worry about any one bank, right? About your money in any one bank. That's the setup you want, rather than having, alerts about bank stocks falling. I mean, right?
Yeah,
It, and it's probably always possible. I mean, I know if you buy treasury bills directly, if you have a bunch of cash that you want to like keep utterly safe, then treasury bills,
Oh yeah.
treasury instruments in general
I mean,
are
ideally what you want
extremely.
is don't do that through a bank because that bank can come apart. You want to do it through an organization that doesn't do banking, e.g. doesn't take investment loans and make invest doesn't take deposits and make investments. So if it's a pure financial, it seems like you're pretty safe because the only way that thing is going down is if they make a risky bet on their own account as opposed to using your money. So, but theoretically, your money is still there unless there's fraud. But you know, there's nothing illegal about what Silicon Valley Bank did, right? They did exactly what they're supposed to do, which is they made a bunch of loans, and when it go and when things come apart, they go bankrupt. That's their job. That's what they do for a living, right?
And in this case, their loan was a low interest loan to the government, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, this
And
is this
then,
technical thing called duration matching, which is their loans are what they're called short term, right? Like you can withdraw $1 million or whatever tomorrow, and they put it into 30-year T-bills. So what happens is, if you need the money, you can't exit the 30-year T-bills fast enough. So you want it's called duration matching. But the problem is, with interest rates rising, they basically made a very risky bet on long-term things. Right, and I think people don't really understand. You know, this is called a technical default. So one of the ways to think about it for regular humans is, if you buy a house for say $200,000, just make that up, and you know the markets in many countries have gone down by 20%. So your $200,000 house is worth $160,000, right? So theoretically, if you put 20% in, you've lost all your equity, right? There's no, like, the bank loan is equal to that. So, but suppose that the bank says, "That's really nice, but I need $40,000. Please give me $40,000 right now." Well, you're sort of stuck, right? And that's what happened to SVB. They actually have assets that are 30-year treasuries or whatever, but they can't exit them, right? And this the so-called mark-to-market problem, which is the bank, if the asset's only worth 160, could say to a customer, "Oh, well, I don't, that
It's
$160,000 loan is now
45.
$120,000. Please come up with $40,000 tomorrow, or I'm calling the loan and you're bankrupt." Right? So we don't realize that when you have these long-dated things, you don't want to be in a short-term cash situation, right? Like, you and I are both homeowners. That would be a catastrophe. Every time the market took a spike down, that you have a meet you need a capital call and you'd have to come up with all this cash. Right, so that was apparently the deep problem.
Yeah, and I don't think people are suspecting any foul play or anything like that. I think it's just like their duration matching is wrong. They had this 30-year treasuries, and they were illiquid and didn't expect to have that much call for the
And I
cash.
think the other issue is that, you know, the last big failures were in 2008, before we had the social media thing. So generating a 10, you know, most of these banks have 5% in cash. Generating a 20% run on the bank is as trivial as yelling into Twitter, "Withdraw your money." Right? I mean, it's not hard to have a bunch of people just withdraw money. And you know, in SVB's case, Peter Thiel and all of us did all those guys did a huge favor by announcing a run. They all got out, so they withdrew $40 billion. So they look like geniuses, and everyone else got trapped. So don't be the last. When someone yells "zombie," don't be the last person out the door. And in most cases, you want to be one of the first two people out the door. But of course, you know, I think that I'm no economist, but it can't be good, do you think, to have people so worried about where their money is?
That's it's got to be, chilling, and at best it's a distraction, right? Everybody is thinking of how am I going to protect against this? How am I going to react if it happens? It's a problem.
So hopefully it all gets resolved, but hope, as we talked about just before the show, hope isn't a strategy. It's, so, and I do think that there are some downside effects. I mean, I do think that people are going to start laying off preemptively because everyone's worried about burn rate and so forth. So it has effects that are not negligible. It's not like business goes back to usual on Monday if everything gets put back together, because there are a lot of scarred people out there.
Even for people who aren't directly exposed at SVP, SVB, it's gonna be a problem. So
Well, let's go on to more fun topics like your cool thing and ChatGPT and so forth. It's nice to take my mind off some of this stuff and not and realize that at least Rich Tong knows how to be safe in the future and will be.
Rich Tong is safe. I'm safe. No,
Yes.
SV. No, I don't have any account in a bank that is not FDIC insured. So that's
That
good.
is huge.
So I feel happy about that. Although I am specifically going to have to check on that one, the one detail you mentioned about money market. Account, is that right? Money market account versus money market fund. Because I have brokerage accounts that do get cash swept into one of those, and I want to make sure it's the safe one. And the safe one is money market fund,
Correct.
right? An account is the dangerous one
Basically,
because that can be
all
used as collateral.
just remember all that stuff we thought we were taught in school that was safe, like a checking account and a savings account. They're not that safe. They're actually some of the
That's
worst
bad.
case, actually.
So so yeah, so moving onto happier, funner things. Let's see. So I have some ChatGPT experiments that I did that I learned a few things from.
Oh, cool.
And then we can talk about OpenAI news for the last week, which I think, I
That's
think
been huge.
OpenAI is going to be a nonstop source of interest and OpenAI and adjacent companies and how people build businesses around that
Oh,
and
yeah,
industries
absolutely.
emerge around it. I think it's super fun stuff that I'm sure we'll be talking about a bunch over the weeks. So,
Yeah, it's sort of ironic, don't you think? We've had this bank failure, there's this deceleration in the venture business potentially, and things have never been better on the tech front. It's
yep,
just
well,
so
amazing
ironic.
stuff. The OpenAI thing, I mean, well, you and I have both been through crypto stuff, for years. And I mean, crypto always, even to this day, it is like there's, people think there's so much potential, so much possibility. There's so many industries ripe for disruption. But I don't think crypto has really gotten traction over increasing over the last 10 years with the increasing visibility and to some extent utilization. But the OpenAI stuff, like this and AI and large language models, I think it is just so profound, and I think changes in industries, changes in people's lives will happen. Unbelievably quickly.
I
Like
totally agree with you.
it'll be crazy what we do in 3 months or 6 months with this stuff. So I started with some basic stuff. So I think I mentioned last week I'm trying to plan a vacation. So I did some things to help to have ChatGPT help me. And ChatGPT itself can't access the internet directly. Its training data ended in September of 2021. But things that are stable, like winery locations and city locations, are easy to learn, easy to extract from through ChatGPT. So I did a I did I had a chat with ChatGPT about this. So I
Oh,
said,
okay,
if I want
cool.
to If I want to take wine tours on Crete, is it more convenient to stay near Chania, near Heraklion, or west of Heraklion?
Wow.
Okay,
And
so
it can answer
that's
those
direct
questions?
question. So I
Jeez.
yeah, and so it gave me a reasonable answer to that, and which was basically which one do you want? Chania is in the country, is a smaller city. Heraklion is a bigger, more industrialized city. So choose by the city, and there are wineries available to both of those, which it said,
Oh,
and I'm
that's
summarizing that,
amazing.
which I should have asked ChatGPT to say. So then I started to get some like real, details on this thing. Like, can you make a table of driving time from Crete and Heraklion to each of those wineries? Make three
Whoa,
columns:
okay.
winery name, time from Crete, time for Heraklion.
Yeah.
Now, I realized it's not Crete that I'm talking about. It's actually Chania. But that, in dealing with the ChatGPT, was easy to fix.
Wow.
So
Okay.
I noticed this problem, and it generated that. I don't know from what. We'll come back to that. It generated the table I asked for, but
Yeah.
then I just said, "Sorry, not Crete, Chania. Please correct the table."
No.
Boom,
No, that's amazing.
and that's it. So all of these things about context and about like and referring back, I think rather elliptically to earlier in the conversation. Very effective. I'm kind of surprised at how completely what do I want to say? How just completely expert, how completely fluent ChatGPT is at interpreting my commands and even overlooking misspellings and all of that. So
Wow,
it was
that's just
great. So I'm
unbelievable.
super. So that's the fun part. That's the great part. And I asked it like make up routes for me that connect hotels to archaeological locations to wineries back to hotel.
Oh my
So make
God.
those up. And it was really cool. And I can add a column that has this. Great. So love that. So but the thing is like a bunch of it is wrong. That's the
Whoa, that's
real that's
interesting.
the thing.
It was just
That's the
wrong.
thing that is gonna fix the is gonna like trip this whole thing up. Great to get beautifully formatted data quickly, and calculations done on that. But really, like the underlying data is incorrect. I mean, not universally, but enough that it's
Well,
worth
then
worrying about. So,
how do you sort through it then? I mean,
well,
it's sort of like
well.
bad web pages. Like, how do you deal with that when it the beautiful sites are always wrong, right? Because they've been
Yep.
SEO'd. You sort of have the not the same thing, but it's sort of a similar phenomena.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Well, we should think about the FPO analogy. That's interesting. But one solution that I've found is to say, show all of your steps, or show your work, or show things, and then it gives you the if you're asking for a multi-step, compound
Yeah.
problem,
Yep.
it'll give you all of the contributing data. So you can at least check that the calculations have been done correctly and the logic is right.
So at least
So
you have some idea of what's going on.
yeah, and then you can check these atomic things, like what's the distance from Minos Palace to Eleutherna. So
But it's so
that yeah.
interesting to me that that is actually even possible. Like you could actually ask it and it works. Maybe I'm always amazed by technology, but it is kind of crazy, isn't it?
It's really crazy that, yeah, okay. So I'll give you one last one that I think is super cool. Let's see. I asked it for each hotel, make two routes that go first to the closest archaeology site and then to the nearest winery, then back to the hotel. Make a table of these shortest hotel, archaeology, winery, hotel journeys. So for each of this selection of hotels, it did it. So then I was worried about this. I said, for each of those 14 routes, make a separate table that lists the driving distance for each segment. So,
Yeah.
and then I got that. So that gives me like a little bit of means to check. So you can do a sample check on the and see how trustworthy the data is, the primary data. So that's cool. So yeah. So I love the context. I love the ability to just refer as you would to a smart colleague about some results and ask it to expand those. So that's my and but it's sort of a goofy colleague because sometimes they just give you like garbage out. So that's my ChatGPT experience this week. So
Well, it's interesting because
very
I
good.
now have because I think OpenAI is going to be super valuable, but in Snapchat has integrated it. There's a startup now where you can email ChatGPT sessions back and forth, right? They've attached it to Whisper for audio. It's just unbelievable how much there is now.
And it's just exploding, right? The uses are exploding and the capacity is exploding, which we should talk about. I hear that there's a new, in general, open API news, there's a new version, a big new
Oh yeah.
upgrade in the OpenAI publicly available technology coming soon. Have you heard much about what is after
Oh, you mean
GPT-3 or GPT-3.5?
it's, I think it's ChatGPT 4, right? Didn't I think I will put in the show notes. Microsoft did an announcement. It's going to deal with video and multimodal. I mean, it's super interesting that the papers I've been reading just basically say it used to be just text training, which is, ChatGPT's main thing, but now it's training on everything. So-called multimodal training. And the fact that you can use the same transformer logic to make images and so forth, it's just unbelievable how quickly this is moving. For instance, I just emailed a please make me a Python program that does this, this, and this. And the bot returned an email saying, here is what it is. So maybe I'll do a quick demo of that if that's possible. Since I can't, oh yeah,
Yeah,
this is the,
if you can, that would be great.
well, this is my other tech problem here. I've got,
Oh.
oh, we should probably
Do
tell
you
our
need Court
listeners
80 for that?
there's something strange going on with my computer where I can access the internet, do everything, but all the browsers are complaining about a proxy server that's stuck in there, and I can't figure out what the hell it is. So I've got, and I just discovered something's redirecting all Safari and browser things to localhost port 48,100, 48,100. That's pretty
Huh.
scary,
Do you
right?
think it could be malware? Have you been
I think
going
it's
to any
probably
like
AVST. I think it's probably one of the virus checkers is actually redirecting all the traffic.
Oh, okay. That's possible.
Yeah. But of course, the only way to figure this out is it's impossible to figure out. Let me see if I can find this.
I'm sure you can disable that
I've
in
disabled everything.
AVG or
It still doesn't
whatever.
work.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So, yeah, that's sort of a problem.
So, do you want to do the demo of your
As
Python
soon as I
introduction, or
remember the
that's not
name of,
possible now?
no, I can do it. I just need to remember.
Okay.
You'll laugh.
Do it
I can't
locally.
remember the name of the startup. So I've
Okay.
got to go back to my recently created and find the name of the startup. It's like Reprio or something. This is the problem with
Oh,
Replio.
was Replio. I think it's
Repli
from read eval print loop
Yeah.
is REPL, right? And
Yeah.
then this is Replio. I think Paul Graham has some connection to it,
Yeah,
if I
no
remember
doubt.
right.
Okay, I can't find it because I can't remember the name of the company. I can't search. So let's just move on to the next thing, which is your cool little toy. Have you tried your little crazy little box thing that you have?
The box thing?
Yeah.
What? The
Then we talked about first.
Cardia? Oh yeah. Oh no. Oh, I see. Yeah. The fat it no, I've tried it. I set up my account and I've tried it and it gives super good detail. Now somebody might ask, as I asked until about 2 weeks ago, Matt, how do you do it's called 6L, six lead, which is an indication of the specific form of cardiogram that it does. How does it do six leads with only what, I as a as an electronics hobbyist, gone old, would say there are three contacts here. How do you do
Yeah,
six leads
how
with
do you do
that?
that?
Well, it's super cool because the six leads, and I don't know where this comes from. I don't know why they're called leads, and I don't know enough cardiology to know why exactly this is interesting. Or why this is specifically happens this way, but the six leads from the three actual body contacts are made up of the in a triangle the A to B, B to C, and then B to A. So anyway, the sorry, it's all the inter contact voltages get tracked
Oh,
plus
interesting.
plus each node relative to the opposite two nodes. So it's like the diagonals inside this. There's a better geometry term for it, but the height of the triangle, right? The three ways to measure the
Got
height of
it.
that triangle, those three lines. So the outer ring is one, two, three, and then those inner cross pieces are three more.
Whoa,
And
that's so cool.
then so it's so looking at those, because it's this it's a you know a time-worn convention in medicine, in cardiology. Using that configuration, there are telltale
That's
artifacts
so cool.
in those specific lines that you can read to know what's going on with somebody's heart. So super
Well,
cool.
I can't wait to try it. Oh, I found it, by the way. It's called Recur AI. And it's
Oh, so
just,
different from
yeah,
Replio.
it's not Replio. But basically, it's so simple. You send an email. So I send an email that said, write me a chat for a Python program to draw a circle of 2 meters radius with 16 equal waypoints around it. Right?
Wow.
And then it comes back with, here's Python code to draw a circle of 16 equal waypoints with the radius of two. And it's actually correct. Here's the radius. They're using the turtle thing. So go here, draw a pen down. There you go. It worked.
Wow. That's
This is
cool. So,
unbelievable. Unbelievable.
wow. Oh, Turtle is funny. Turtle takes me back to college times with Seymour Papert
Yes.
it was the original turtle guy, and I think that book of his came out like, I mean, while I was in school, so by before 83 anyway. So yep, turtle. So but the ChatGPT thing, sorry, the OpenAI thing, is it do is it OpenAI in some form behind Recycle
Oh yeah, no, they're
or
all
we what's
everyone's
the
just
forget who it
buying
is.
buying data from them. I mean, or buying calls from them. No one's, there's like probably four lines of code in this Recur AI thing, I guess. Right, literally like bring in the message. Throw away all the things and then feed it to ChatGPT and then return. Right. So there you go.
Yeah, it could be that easy. So saying that there is only that thin layer between the user request and the LLM, the OpenAI behind it,
Yeah.
that makes this product, like, is do you think that can be a long-lasting business? And in general, like,
No,
what sort of
I think this is just
businesses
like,
will reasonably spring
yeah, I
up
think
around
this is like
that?
all browser things. That's a quick business to get done. But, I think all this work, Salesforce is integrating it in, Office is going to, become a super grammar checker, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, this is sort of the first thing you do quick. But no, I think there's a lot of opportunities, don't you, for deeper, what I would call deeper integration.
It is great that it takes so little investment to build a tool that is very focused on a particular industry, on a particular segment, on a particular problem,
Yeah.
and just have this, it's literally the giant that you stand on the shoulders of in building your business. So
Well, it's a
I think it's
classic
super
example.
interesting.
Don't you think it's an example of how web APIs and sort of this decoupling at the app level makes all this stuff so easy? Right. So
Right.
all this tech is
It's
because it's like literally one post is, this the
yep.
same call to call ChatGPT is the one you use to talk to a database. Right, or
Yeah,
to post a
it's the
post, it's the
same
same
form,
tech,
yeah.
right? In fact, I'm working on a big blog post which is about this sort of convergence because, like the smart home that we talked about before is used to be all these
Yeah.
vertical stacks, right? Garage door openers, different than your key, and so forth. And we've really converged on two things, right? One is IP addressable, right? So everything's addressable by
Yeah.
IP, even in a home. And then the second thing is everything essentially is a web API. Right.
Yep.
And those two
Yep.
convergence points really basically make interoperability possible. So that's how I think Salesforce can integrate this stuff because it's sort of like instead of calling my grammar checker, I'll just call ChatGPT. It's like two, like four lines and we're in. So that's a huge innovation, I think. And it'll be interesting to see how ChatGPT competes with Alexa and all these other things that are sort of bespoke models. Because have you seen the Whisper plus ChatGPT thing where You just talk to it. So
No, I haven't. Haven't
Whisper
seen
is the OpenAI text-to-speech thing, and someone's hooked
it.
up Whisper to ChatGPT. So you just talk to it. So everything that you're typing, you just say, you can imagine how nice that query will be if it just returns in English. You say, "Hey, tell me where I should go in Siena." It just talks back to you.
Does it, it? Oh, it talks back to you.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
That's
Which is
cool.
like, Alexa, but maybe better in like two lines of code. Right.
I was looking at how I would build a well, it's just like a personal assistant, let's say, of a particular purpose that I was interested in, and it's e that I could speak to, and it's easy to make such a thing with Siri shortcuts
Yep.
that can run on your Mac, run
Right.
on your iOS device. And then connect those on the back end to the OpenAI API.
Yeah.
And
Be trivial.
so that is, I mean, I guess that's even honestly less general than the Whisper thing that you mentioned, but it was, I don't know,
Yeah, I
just more
mean,
comfortable for
remember
me straight
we were
ahead.
talking about where to invest your time, and you talked about prompt engineering as the big thing. I think this whole, if I were, and I am doing this sitting here, how to get ChatGPT to be useful to, the next generation of people, e.g., people who are not in this sort of ground zero, I think there's a big business there. Like, it should be attached to every e-commerce site, like tomorrow, right? It should be attached to everything, like tomorrow. And so it just feels like this is sort of like the web days. There's always these technology shifts. This feels like, maybe Web 3 will be a longer burn. And I thought it was that, but I kind of agree with you. ChatGPT is like the obvious one.
It's
Remember the days when everyone's like, "Oh, I want to do order entry. Can you just make me a website to do orders?" This is like 20 years ago, and it's like for 20, 10 years we just did that. I feel like this is the same thing. Like, can you give me all that magic that all these tier one companies have, like now? Like, how would you connect
It's
ChatGPT to a database and actually make online shopping easy? Like, there's a whole business just doing that. Or, the thing you're working on with the recycling sneaker thing, I remember. How would you, this feels like a something you're really good at as a CTO. Like, here's a new technology, here's how it applies to my business, and here are the parts you need. Just feel like that's coming. But yeah.
So I think there are both in-house things for forward-looking companies like who are doing e-commerce in in a particular area,
Yeah.
and also for service bureaus. Although I'm not sure how long service bureaus will be around. I wonder if they'll go the way of website design firms, which are now very
Yeah.
very concentrated and specialized. So like
But
just a
don't you think?
service bureau for how do I improve my
Yeah.
business using AI?
Yeah, no, I think that's there's a I'm not sure what the model is. I mean, remember when there were 1,000 little web companies and then they all merged? It feels like we're in that early stage where to me, it's always more about what skills are you going to develop so that you're valuable, right? Because it keeps changing.
What is enterprise value?
Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah. And
so
right now, to all of our four readers, I think it's understanding these applications, right? That's that is the key.
I'm
That's
going to
the
be
key.
experimenting with more of those in the coming weeks.
Well,
So
let's probably should close this off because I got a bunch of other things to do. But yeah,
sure.
let's leave the hook there. I think this worked out really great. And it's always good talking to you, Paul.
Always fun, Rich. I hope the SVB stuff unwinds in a good way for you. I know
Well,
it's going to be
thanks a
a
lot.
challenge.
It's really a challenge as always, but I think that well, I think we're both old enough to know you can't predict everything. I mean, this was not on my list as a thing that anyone needed to worry about. Now it is, but just like 3 years ago, wearing a mask outside and being safe was not something I ever worried about, but now I do. It just feels like every year you learn a different hazard,
Right,
right?
the world changes. You learn new hazards and new benefits, new
Yeah.
technology, new possibilities.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
And I think that You're totally right on the two trends. This biometric things reading here, that's a huge deal, right? And then the other trend is the ChatGPT. The AI finally seems like it's ready for everybody without a lot of
Right.
training. And now it's time for you and me to just put us, sort of like go to IKEA for the person, find the workbench and assemble it for them. I think that's where we are.
Put the shim in, do the specialization,
Yeah,
put the
exactly.
uniform on.
Right. Make it
All right,
quick.
see you next week, Rich.
Bye, Paul. Always good to see you.
Always fun.